like one of those, we'll call it, it's a stereotype. It's a stereotype.
Stereotype.
The stereotype of like black people don't do shit that isn't cool. Do you know what I mean? Like we were talking about like Jimmy, like Jimmy's never publicly done something embarrassing. Like he handles things very smoothly and coolly.
Yeah.
I've never seen a black guy get injured.
Not
outside of sports. Outside of sports.
Well, have you ever
that
seen
would terrify
cop?
Me
but
as
you
a
know
white
what
person.
Mean? No, or a cop. God damn it.
What in tarnation?
Check us out at our shows coming up. The gang is coming on the road with me to Texas and Oklahoma soon. We're headed out west. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Dude,
because I want to be a cowboy.
Cowboy.
You're taking Garth on the road with us.
April 18th, Dallas, Texas. April 19th, two shows, San Antonio, Texas. 420, Oklahoma City at the Pharmacy Dispensary. 421, Shake and Jake at the Lab at Zanies, Nashville for the Zanies as part of the Zanies Comedy Festival. April 24th, Zanies, Chicago, Old Town. May 3rd, Gig Harbor, Washington. May 4th, Portland, Oregon, Rip City Comedy Festival. Oh, solo tickets for that show at Rip City Comedy Festival have already sold out. We added 25 more general admission tickets. And the only tickets left after those 25 general admission tickets are VIP tickets for the entire festival. So,
spend that coin.
Spend that money. Go spend that money. And then just added, hot off of the presses. They're not even on the website as of the time of this recording, but by the time you see this, they will be on the podcast, are on the website. June 27th, 28th, and 29th, a whole weekend, Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Looney Bin.
Oklahoma.
Dude, where the wind blows.
Yes, and Thomas, maybe. We're going to find out, dude. Get tickets at AJ Wilkerson Comedy. AJ, I don't even know my own website, dude. AJWilkerson.com for tickets.
DMs should automatically vanish after midnight. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you should have to do like
you
a...
you be DM diving.
I know it's what not, you
like,
mean.
Like,
I know what you
I will
mean.
Tell you an example. There is a girl who's an actress here in town who, you know, we've known each other for like 5-6 years. She's doing her own thing. I'm doing my own thing. Hey, what's up? And I'm only sending that when I've been drinking a little bit, and it's like, hey, I've been thinking about you. That is Instagram.
No wonder
brought,
she doesn't reply. You
no,
only think about her when you're drinking.
No, you know, I was having lunch one day and texted her. My point is that Instagram.
You were drunk at lunch?
Yeah.
Were you on a plantation?
I feel like her reputation is really establishing itself on this podcast. Look, sometimes I work at a diner. My whole point is that like there's a social graph now. We're living both physical lives and digital social lives. And in that digital social sphere, conversations are happening like crazy. Relationships do form in online messaging. Mm. Like I talked to a girl for like a couple of months and it was just because we both were like on each other's Instagram and like one of us reached out. It's like, hey. And then we just talk and then it leads to something good. So I don't think it's like inherently like a... you know, weird thing to do. I think, do you not DM people and be like, you're cute? You're asexual, though.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Kind of.
Asexual? That's what's up.
Yeah.
People slide in my DMs a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Well, you're not judging them.
I also barely see their messages. Because I have so many messages, dude. But
the first thing I sent AJ was a dick pic.
My messages just keep going insane. But there's also like multiple message folders. So most of them go into like message. Well, no, not even general.
Request.
They go into like a message request. Because
you're not following them.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll put a hoe in the general category just to keep her in line.
So you've missed a lot of shots, Ben. You know what I'm saying?
Bad dude, shots. I miss shots in real life because I don't even understand the game.
Well, Bishop's
asking
for a date.
Like there have been so many times that like after shows, like I'll be selling merch and taking pictures with people, and afterwards, Jake will be like, "Why did you not get that girl's number, do something. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, dude, she was trying to get the D. And I was like, oops.
Yeah.
Like, bro, she went to pass you the ball and it just hit you in the chest. You walked away.
Yeah. Like, bro, you didn't feel her grab your ass.
It's that scene in Dumb and Dumber where those ladies are on the bus.
My hands twitch. I'm so focused on not grabbing hers.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with the side hug.
Dude, I love watching you put my hands around arms around people and like shadow. I don't even touch the hands. Don't touch.
So you just spread your wings.
Yeah. Hands free, dude. Hands free, like Bluetooth, like dude.
I love watching you take photos of people because both are, you're out like Jesus, just spread out like
That's
this.
So fucking funny, bro. What if you shake too hard and just hit them upside the head
every
time?
Let's all pretend like that's never happened. Let's just.
Oh shit!
No, I occasionally assault my fan base. Like no big deal.
Fucking size.
What's a couple love taps amongst friends? You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Back to your DM diving.
Yeah, wait. So you never? I am curious
about
this.
No, I have.
Of course,
but
you have.
I like
you
that
just
Instagram
heart.
Just
you don't
got
reach
the
out.
Like thing. You know what I'm saying? I like that.
You don't ever comment and be like, "I like your wallpaper. Nice wallpaper."
What?
Yeah.
What wallpaper?
See, yeah.
Okay, another example.
Like
another example.
I've seen inside your house.
Another example.
I've heard white girls tell me that line is weird. So yeah,
no, that's weird. You haven't.
Come on,
that's weird.
Look, pause. Listen, let me just create a force field barrier. There is a particular woman who
we might just have to go ahead and cancel Thomas.
No, I resist this. So many of you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what this is.
I have no say so. Black people can't cancel nobody.
This energy is us shaming you for being a horny boy.
I'm sorry. God made me that way. But my point is like there's a particular person who she does DIY shit. I met her at my diner.
DIY is what you did.
Yeah, I was.
She does DIY.
This is why I
sound
drunk on this podcast.
DIY.
She has an IUD.
I think technically all of them are DIY. Every DUI is a DIY, dude. You did it to yourself.
All right, listen. So this alcoholic bitch, she does DIY. She restores vans. She redoes flooring. She does custom
carpenter.
Yes, she does custom wallpaper, interior designs. She's posting about herself, and I'm watching it. I'm like, dude, I really like that wallpaper.
Okay,
and then she'll message back a little bit and be like, yeah, me too. And then when it's And then you know,
I promise you,
that.
She does not say "yeah, me too" when she texts that back. that shoulder wag, 100% was in your imagination.
Y'all are gonna just take whatever angle you can take. This is why I drink. Actually,
the alarm is going off.
This is why I drink, folks. If there's heroin, I'll take it.
Hold on, Tommy.
What
is that?
Oh,
he's like a car alarm going
off. Where are my keys?
Oh shit!
All right. When we're ready to come back.
Yeah, me too.
When we're ready to come back.
Yeah, me too. All
right. Here's my point. Here's my point. My point is when we're having an exchange about something I'm actually interested in, because before, the only people that you saw was like, oh, the baker's sister's hot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then it was, oh, I'm in school. These are the people I work with. These are the people I go out with. These are my friends. Now we have access. Like, I could fucking have a deeply beautiful conversation with someone who lives in New York City. We could have an ongoing, lengthy conversation.
I understand what you're saying.
My point is, as beautiful and connective as that is, that's an ongoing conversation. When the clock strikes midnight and I've had a sip, I'll be like, you are hot. That's all I'm saying.
So you're saying,
and then she'll be
you're
like, me too.
DM sent after midnight.
Yes.
Should be
vanishable. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the next morning, you should have a like, you sure about this? Or like 7 minutes
a
after
delay,
you send it, you get like, you sure about that?
A delay.
Wow.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know what you're saying.
You're acting like you don't know, but you know.
I don't DM dive like that.
I did when I was
younger.
No. Okay, so
he's also 67.
He's not talking about like just sliding in DMs.
Okay.
He's talking about like engaging with people, and then at a certain point, once you've engaged with them, then he'll like drunk text and like a you
to
up.
See what's up. Oh, yeah. Never going to work.
except I will say about a third of the time it does.
Yeah. I mean, you get to shoot in the dark, people, and sometimes you'll hit something.
No, it's not even that. But people like that's a legitimate form of connecting with people.
Some people do, but you
100%.
But check this out. How many people have you took out on a date like and just got a drink?
All the time. Yeah, and I do that way more often than the DMs.
Okay. And then after that.
Way more often it's I'm out and I'll, like, the last time I went on a date with a person I met in real life was a couple weeks ago. I came to a bar, sat at the bar, got a bowl of ramen. We talked. Yeah, she went to an EDM.
A bowl of ramen.
I don't see. He's laughing at whatever he can laugh at. No, you're being so dumb.
No. Yeah. You went to the bar, ordered a bowl of ramen
at
before
a
drink.
At a Japanese place.
Before a drink?
I got a beer and a ramen.
Okay, thank you.
Two
Say
beers
that.
And a ramen. I had four beers and a ramen. Listen, I was drunk.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I'm just picturing because
it was 12 p.m. at least.
Finish painting the picture, you drunk
That's
little
all.
Bitch.
What is that movie Flight that has a
Denzel Washington?
He's like, I was drunk on that flight.
When the guy confronts him with the little, sorry, spoilers.
I'm drunk now.
The guy confronts him with he's like, oh yeah, they found a vodka bottle in the trash, and Denzel's like, well, that's weird because I drank two of them. That's a hard ass line. What a hard ass line. It's like, it's kind of suspicious. We found this vodka bottle. You said that, oh, that's what it was. He's like, oh, the flight attendant said they didn't have a drink service, but we did find this vodka bottle in the trash. And he's like, well, that's weird because I drank two of them.
Okay. So we are at this, the bar.
We got ramen.
We're hitting it off. And then she goes, hey, I'm going to this rave later tonight. Do you want to be my plus one? And I go home, change, go to the rave, took a little Molly, go to the rave, have the time of my fucking life. So, like, yeah, I meet people in real life like that, that's my favorite. But at the same time, it's like, that's random, that's chance, that's meh. You get to see people over, like, the trajectory of their social presence and just be like, okay, you're actually really interesting or you're really pretty. Okay.
So you're genuine with your DM approach at 12 a.m. at night after sipping a little
wine. Yeah.
That's mostly, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you're not.
Sometimes there's a lady and it's like, yeah.
You're not typing out, like, you know you want the D. And then sending separate to, like, 40 ladies at a time
No. I would never be so bold.
You're not mass sliding.
So, no, I'm just like, how was your evening?
So you're looking for a great conversation at 12 a.m. in the morning.
I think there's a certain loneliness that I feel sometimes.
He's looking for 12 to 15 minutes of conversation and then some pussy.
And then 1 to 2 minutes of vagina action.
I'll take one or the other.
So basically, you send 12 a.m. texts when your dog kick you out your bed.
No, he's up there with me.
How much you lonely?
Yeah, that's crazy. Love my dog. I love
he's
my dog.
Showing
you
the
know,
dog girls.
You
he's
know
like,
what
this
I'm...
One?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I hate more than I've ever hated any injustice in this world is you know exactly what I'm talking about, but you're playing like you don't.
No, I know what you're
You know what I'm
say,
saying. You know what I'm
but
saying.
But when you put the wine in 12 a.m., that's fucking time.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But it's also like at the end of an open mic, you're like, what the fuck are we doing? And then there's this person like, yeah, there's a person that I'll call sometimes now and it's like, it's just nice to talk. It's just nice to like be connected to a person and like have a conversation outside of what the fuck this shit is.
I'm saying.
And I feel like there's a loneliness. I do feel a loneliness. But I do feel a loneliness.
To a person.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying to a carpenter that does wallpaper. You know what I'm saying? Hey, nice wallpaper. I like your wallpaper.
I did like it. Yeah. To a random girl you met at a bar at 2 a.m. is
no,
hey,
not
nice 2 wallpaper is super weird.
And you're doing that again. It's not super weird.
No. That's the thing. That's not us doing it. I think a little drinky Thomas, and I think he's only saying half of the sentences that his brain is thinking.
And we trying to finish
it. It comes out creepy, and so then we're trying to get more.
No, you guys are steering into the creepy. You're like, oh, that's weird as fuck, and I'm like, what are you talking about? It to me, it doesn't feel weird. It's like.
No, we didn't say it was weird. We're just saying.
Okay,
it was
rewind.
It was weird without the carpentry fucking
that's
knowledge.
That's what I'm saying. I gotta have time to say it. I gotta have time to say it.
Okay, all right.
Okay, but now that I know that she's a carpenter saying, hey, nice wallpaper's not weird, but without that, yeah, I'm thinking you've been inside their house before.
Before you got to the carpenter part, we were like, so you just slide in DMs, and you're like, yeah, I'll send, like, a hey, nice wallpaper, and we were like, whoa, yeah. And then you were like, then you gave us the carpenter example, yeah. And we were like, oh, the wallpaper thing makes sense now.
So we don't think you're weird, we just thought that was weird, but then now we're just like, all right, do you want to know these young ladies at 12 a.m. in the morning, you're a little tipsy, or are you trying to get into some of their draws?
No, I just think it's a different, like, you have morning convo, you have afternoon convo, and sometimes you have let's go to jazz convo, and sometimes you're in let's go to jazz.
Is that a club? Like, I'm not
familiar. No, I'm just saying, it's like let's go on a fucking date. Let's go have a fucking date. Let's go out. Let's go out.
Nice. Okay.
Come on. You want to go out? You haven't been out in a while. Let's go out. Why not go out?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how the world is. That's how like life fucking works. And now we have social media where you can have those connections.
I agree.
It's so common. And all of those people I've already met in real life. It's not like I'm like DMing some fucking Instagram hoe a thousand miles away.
Why don't you have
their
number?
I don't get people's numbers. I like Instagram is like such a social. It's like it's just easier.
That is true. That is true.
And
that is a car alarm.
Sydney, quit laughing.
You scared me for a minute.
Oh, God.
I scared you.
I did too, dude. I thought she was projecting it like a ventriloquist, dude. I was like, is she Jeff Dunningham right now, dude?
I'm sorry, Thomas. I don't mean any harm in like saying that. I'm just asking because I'm like, if I send a 12 a.m. DM, you know what I'm trying to do.
Right.
In my opinion, even if I do know them, sometimes, hey, what you doing out there?
Sometimes a 12 a.m. DM, you're sitting out on your back porch and you're a little drunk.
You got a back porch?
Yep. And you're looking up at the stars and you think about your ex-girlfriend and then you think about that girl you've been talking to on Instagram a little bit and you're like, yeah, fuck it, I'll say hi. Like that's what I'm saying is like, do you want to be even in that energy?
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, I kind of regret, like, my openness to that energy, maybe sometimes.
So you like to go back to your ex every now and then?
Oh, yeah, I would, for sure.
Let her go.
I see why white men are anxious a lot.
I had real love. I had real love, you sons of bitches. I had.
And you can find it elsewhere. It's called geography.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of archaeology before?
He's just jacking off with a bone. No, I don't know. Have you ever been in love, Bishop?
No. Maybe. I think. No. I mean, somebody had to say
if
that,
you
no.
say it that way, that means no. Because I think if you have been in love, you fucking know.
Well,
you know,
my
you say
shot.
I would reorient my life in really service bad. Of what this was.
Right. Okay. But that's multiple what you, women. Okay, assuming. Right. But what you have to understand is that for that, like the thing that exists in your memory to have been as real as it is in your memory, it would have to still be real right now. That's which means that the way that it feels in your memory does not feel that way to both people.
Yeah.
It did though. I know it did.
Okay, but it did, but it doesn't anymore.
I
so
know.
The thing that you're
That's
talking about, but what I'm saying is for that brief period it was real, but it wasn't meant to be real for longer.
And
than
I'm not
that.
Holding on to that. Yeah. I recognize That's that. My feeling though, my feeling is that to it's the fucking cliche. It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Because I think if you have loved and have lost, that is always this fucking North Star to something. And I'm not holding on to it and what that was, but I am holding on to what that was.
I get
what not
you're
what
saying.
That was in the specific sense, but what that was in the general sense. Because
how
then
it made
when
you feel.
Have when you have connections with people and you now compare it to a thing.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning it's just like that's why I don't like
but
dating younger
but that's
women.
Why you can't do that. What you just said is exactly why you can't do that. Because
what are you
now
saying,
you're
can't
now
do?
You're comparing people against each other, and comparison is the thief of joy, my friend. You can't fully move forward if you're compare. You're still comparing the people because you're still
that
thinking of your
really
ex. You have to
really
stop comparing the people and start comparing the feeling.
No, because like
as a it's a reference point though. It's like so before this relationship. God damn, is this still on the Patreon? Can it be?
It can. Still
okay, because I don't want this. My point though is like when we were together. I looked back on all the previous relationships I'd had, and I had this moment where I was like, "Oh, I have never felt this way towards somebody." And then, since then, when I'm with people, I still feel that feeling of, "Oh, I've never felt it. I don't feel this way towards you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I still like the companionship. I still like the intimacy. I still like that connection. But it's like, you didn't, it wasn't what that was. And I'm not trying to recreate that specific thing, but it's like, okay. It does.
It makes it change. Hard. Okay.
Hold on. It changes the rubric for which I evaluate my connections Hold with on. People.
But it does. And you are still comparing something because, again, especially when you're first meeting someone and getting to know someone, and even if it's been like, how long were you with your ex?
4 years.
Okay. So you're comparing the love that you felt and the connection that you felt over the duration of a 4-year relationship with someone that you're just meeting or getting to know. That's of a really course good point. That feeling isn't going to be the same. And I have to build to that.
Yeah.
Also though, like being in love like that, like truly loving someone like that, makes it really hard to love anyone else. Cause I've been there.
But you Same. Still have your cat, Sydney. Like, she left.
Fuck you. No, but seriously, I mean, me and Miles, we went to war.
Friend of the bar.
Yeah, friend of God, Jesus. We went to war together. We were best friends. We went to war together. He helped keep me alive.
Yeah.
And
real war.
Yeah.
Okay. Tight shit. They went to a rally
once. Real one, not like drug dealer girlfriend type shit.
January.
Yeah. Ride.
January 6th, we were both busy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, she a ride or die, bitch.
Yeah. Like, I was rolling packs. Like,
she stuck it up on Coochie one time when they got pulled over by the police.
Yeah, it's still like, up there. No, like, we went to actual, like, we got deployed together to Afghanistan, and we were, like, together a lot over there, and over that course of time, we developed this bond, and then when we got back, it was like, oh, I really love you, and then we did that for a minute, but we ended up getting separated because of the army and just life.
Okay.
But that connection has made every single one of my other relationships, it's hard. Yeah. It's harder. It's harder to like, because it's not that.
Yeah. Well, and also that is a different thing, because that is like two different relationships in one, because you have like that military camaraderie relationship intertwined with the romantic relationship.
The effect is the same though, and it's the point that you made, which is because you're comparing it, it makes you less open to something that's not that, but that it may become something equally beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which, good point. I hate that you agreed with her automatically and disagreed with me automatically. That hurt me. And let that be on the record.
Well, to be fair, I'm usually going to agree with her and disagree with you, because we have
penises.
We have vastly wide and varying worldviews.
I know. I'm kidding.
And y'all been through similar things too.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying. It took me a long, I feel like there's still a little bit of me that holds on to that.
How long ago was it?
That was 2013.
A decade.
Yeah, it took me a long time
to
finally.
It's been a year and a half for me.
Yeah, it takes time.
Yeah.
One day.
Y'all gonna find love
about 45. I was gonna say, my marriage ended like 8 years ago now.
But not
so
terms,
I'm just like 6 years, 5-6 years ahead of you on the healing process.
Military
so it's just,
and marriage don't go together.
No,
I was married after the military.
Oh, okay,
but still,
going for life insurance or some shit.
No, that does happen a lot. There's a lot of like weird shit like that that happens in the military. Okay. People get married for, and they're like, hey, you want to get married, and we'll just like rent a cheap apartment and split the excess like housing allowance and all kinds of stuff.
Because you get more money if you're married than if you're a single soldier. Yeah. You get more money.
And a lot of times, like,
I'll be married to the ugliest bitch.
People are. People also, can be doing
people,
that.
People will get married if they're single and denied like off-post housing or like things like that. Because like if you're a single 30-year-old dude living in the barracks with like 6 19-year-olds, you're like, yeah, I'll fucking just marry another 30-year-old and we'll go rent an apartment so I'm not living with these fucking monsters.
Yeah. I'm gonna go down to the local Walmart and pick out the lady that smiles at me, even if she's missing teeth. People do that.
That makes a lot of sense. And in a sense, like, maybe you're happier. I there's this book about relationships that I read. It was the guy was the founder of like OkCupid or something like that. And he gathered all the data from like the most successful matches, and they did a lot of experiments too during the development of the app. And what they realized was that people who were unequally paired on attractiveness scales had a better time together. Huh. Which is because like the it's like the acceptance of the gap in a certain sense. So if you're in a military and you're like, I just need to marry anybody, and you find like a bit of a heifer, like you would enjoy that maybe.
Well, yeah. I think
probably the divorce rate's lower in the
I think the other like thing to think of, like with that, like the interesting thing to me is like, okay, there's people that work out because they truly enjoy fitness and working out, and people who work out just because of the like aesthetic. The aesthetic of, you know, whatever. And so sometimes when there's that like attractiveness gap or whatever, and it's like, oh, this person in like enjoys who I am because they don't care as much about appearances and things like that. And it lets that person feel more relaxed and like themselves, yeah. and like they're yes. not just keeping things up for appearances.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think it is about like acceptance and like, I'd rather have something that feels genuine than try and keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I think that's a real thing.
True. No, because I feel like a lot of women don't do that in a sense, if you get what I'm saying. But they end up doing it later on in life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They end up, that's why they like older guys. Well, black women.
Yeah.
White women too.
That was
like
another...
older men, 40s, established, got their money going, you know what I'm saying? If his dick can stay hard a little bit, they good with that. You know what I'm saying?
But it's also stability. Like that was another part of this book, what it talked about. Another interesting point was that as women aged, they preferred mates who matched or slightly exceeded their age. So a 35-year-old woman and a 37-year-old man, etc. And it tracked. And the way that it tracked for men was that as men aged, the women were
younger.
21. It just stayed. Yeah. It stayed 21 savage. But another interesting point was that like men who were pursuing like a creative field most likely were to attract younger women because they were willing to make a bet on an older man who could have a high payoff but may not have a high payoff because they were young. But that same man will have difficulty in his age range because these are women who have already made those bets when they were in their early 20s and now they want someone who's a certainty. And so there's like this weird like gap where like a lot of people will a lot of women in their early age will be totally comfortable dating older men, and women in their older age almost exclusively date men their age or older because they're trying to settle down. It's like if you evolutionarily, if you want to have kids and shit, like you have to have security.
No, you don't. You can just fuck someone and have a child.
But that's against biology.
It's the irresponsible way to do it, but you can't
do
it.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Let me ask you, when did you read this book?
Like 2 years ago?
Was it during the breakup or?
I don't know how I got a reference for the book. It might have been on a podcast, but I don't know.
Either way. Was it a relationship type podcast?
No, it's data. I like the data. It's a research thing of like what is relationships and what is dating. And I come from like a tech background, and so the owner of a company who had data, like, because like a lot of the culture that we're fed and the societal information that we're fed is not based on like objective shit. Like, there's a lot of taboo and there's a lot of like, but it's like how are people. What does the data say about how people are? How do people say they are? You know what I'm saying? And like when the tech world, like you very much focus on that problem. You're very much trying to figure out like what do people actually want? If that makes sense.
I think data sucks too sometimes.
What do you mean?
Like stats in basketball. You watch basketball.
Yeah.
Everybody know LeBron is ahead of Kobe. If you're a hooper, Kobe. Everybody know Kobe
is ahead of Bron
because of style.
It was because Kobe can do everything. Kobe didn't fear shit, like shooting with his left hand, doing this and going like he could do anything
It's not that he was more dominant. Like, well, there is that. I feel like there's like Kobe was dominant in a way that like LeBron was dominant like for a long time, but at this point his numbers are about his longevity.
Yeah.
Versus like when you look at like Kobe's like dominance era that's untouched.
Yeah. What I say is like you couldn't stop Kobe in spots. You couldn't stop LeBron in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You can't stop LeBron. You couldn't stop LeBron on a fast break.
Right.
But there, you couldn't stop. There were times with Kobe where it didn't matter what defense you had, how set you were, who many people were on him. You just couldn't stop Kobe.
Right.
Do you feel like there was like a higher level like of players during like Kobe's era compared to LeBron's era too?
Oh, no. Somebody broke it down to me the other day when it was like, if you had a kid 5 years ago, he's 7 years old. He can, that's some bad math, but like,
yeah, get fired. So like,
I'm trying to say you got a 7 year old. It's on the Patreon, right?
That is hilarious.
I can't believe I just said that. But anyway, say you got a 7 year old right now. Compared if I had a 7 year old in the 90s,
right?
My 7 year old was hooping in the backyard with his homeboys getting better. It was two people in our hood named PJ and Alex Carr. We just knew they was going to the league because they were the best people in the neighborhood. Every fucking day, they would beat our ass. They couldn't be on the same team. PJ used to do all the tricks that we see on TV, and we were like, all right, they're going to the league. But you know who went to the league? This guy named KJ McDaniels. Shout out to KJ McDaniels. I went to high school with him.
Okay.
He practiced every single day during the summer. Never seen it in my life from any player in ninth grade. And I was just like, why is he here? I'm playing football. I'm like, why is he at the school, you know, just hooping? You're like, and I was on the basketball team too. I wasn't putting in work like that. And so what I say that now is they didn't do that in the 90s when, you know, Kobe was coming out. Like, they were the best of the best because they're pops or they had leaders or they just had God-given talent. Now, white boys are dunking and shooting threes from the fucking logo.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can dribble. What? Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say. Is here's the difference
evolution.
Between evolution.
Training evolution.
The difference between
body
the,
evolution.
Yes, the difference between the NBA then and now is exactly that. Like the athletes playing in the NBA now are better. Scientifically engineered athletes, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. They're the best athletes ever existed in the history of science.
On.
But what basketball lacked in athleticism and like scientific perfection in the 90s is exactly what you see.
Style.
It's exactly what you see in every pickup basketball game across America. What people lack in talent, they make up for in violence. Mm. That's what was different about the 90s. If LeBron was going in the paint in the 90s, he was getting punched in the mouth every fucking time in the lane.
He would just have to learn how to shoot free throws.
He would have played 23 games a season his entire career.
I disagree. I disagree with that.
You think he would have been?
Yeah, because he's 6'9", 260.
Okay. No. Fair. But
and he chooses by if
he
was the same LeBron, he'd
be forced into a role player.
Where's the gentleman?
He'd have been a Dennis Rodman.
Oh, so you one of those?
He'd have been a Dennis Rodman. He'd have become the enforcer versus the Michael Jordan. Well, Michael Jordan could be. Like,
ooh, this is good.
Michael Jordan could be tough.
Like
Michael Jordan could be tough.
He's been getting sporty
lately.
He
was scrappy.
Yeah.
But he was also majestic.
Yeah.
He was magic.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was
okay,
magic,
I agree.
Mike.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
So
LeBron has always been athletic brute force freak. He's never been magic. He's never been magical.
So that's why.
Like Kobe is.
LeBron has been brute force, but do you remember Dwayne Wade with the Heat pre-LeBron James?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Dwayne Wade would like just glide through the paint, turn his body in a way you've never seen anybody do, and then throw the ball over his head, like not even facing the basket, and it would just go in, and you're like, how the fuck did he do that? LeBron has never had he's had freak athletic moments.
Okay.
Freak athletic moments.
Okay.
But not a how in the fucking basketball gods did that just happen?
Okay.
That's like versus I feel like Kobe. I feel like Kobe has like at least a half hour highlight reel of that alone.
They're smaller and shorter.
Yes.
And I think that's one reason because you have to look at it this way. LeBron in the 90s would have been Karl Malone with John Stockton passing ability and faster than the fastest NBA player then.
Mm. No, fair. So, he would have been Magic Johnson with fucking wheels.
And so here's the thing. Magic Johnson was the truth back then. Won a championship with the greatest center.
Right.
LeBron is that mentality with Karl Malone's body and MJ's scoring ability, not the fadeaways at the time of his first 9 years. I studied LeBron. He couldn't shoot his first 3, 4, 5 years. He couldn't shoot a three like that.
Yeah.
But once he got later into the Cleveland years, he could shoot the three because he had to carry the team. All right? They didn't shoot the three like that. If he wasn't going to shoot the three, he damn sure was going to go to the post.
I love and that
he
was your gonna... hand is holding a gun.
No, it's holding up your dick size.
I agree with everything you're saying, except I will say LeBron is Karl Malone with... Vince Carter's
athleticism
and magic knowledge of how to evolve yourself over time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
His career, Vince Carter was all explosive, explosivity.
And give him credit though; he was good. He was a mid range shooter as well.
He had a mid range.
When he went to the New Jersey Nets, that's when he could start shooting threes.
He had a good mid range because of his explosivity, not because of pure shooting talent. I played basketball with a dude in high school named Larry Whitehead.
Shout out Larry Whitehead
was the most athletic dude I've ever personally played sports with. But he was that guy that he would pull up from mid-range and he was just, you're like, his head is at the rim. You can't guard it. You can't defend it. There's not a hand you can put up that's going to get high enough to interrupt this shot.
That's what
Carter's mid-range to me was. It was his. He would just launch himself so high up that it's like, no, there's no defending this.
I agree with that.
Beautiful, and I love it.
I just feel like LeBron would have averaged a triple-double back in that league because he would have had to rebound more. They would have played the pick and roll, but they would have played the triangle offense where he would have been in the paint more, not the elbow. He would have tried to bend the person to dribble and bring up the ball.
I only disagree because the game hadn't evolved to that point yet.
Oh no.
He would have been a historic double doubler.
What years are we talking about? MJ years or Kobe years?
Because you were saying Magic years. You were saying Magic MJ. Years? So I'm talking Magic MJ years.
80s, 90s. Are we talking about Phil Jackson being with the Chicago Bulls? It's gonna have to depend on what team he's on and all that.
Yep. Well. But again, if we're talking about
really, because he won three championships with three different organizations.
He did.
Fucking fair. Whoop, finesse. Fair.
But again, even if you look at the triangle offense, there wasn't a triple-double guy in the triangle offense because of the way that the offense was run. Like the most, aggregate offense at that time was split in a way where everyone was doing two things, but nobody was doing everything.
And that's why LeBron is better than Michael.
Ooh. I don't think so.
We don't feel that way.
Davis said this. They got this cancel court thing on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Shout out Ryan Davis, comedian.
Love Ryan Davis.
Friend of the pod.
He said Horace Grant.
You said it right.
Is top 20 offensive rebounds. He's an offensive rebound guru.
Yes.
Defensive player guru. And he won three championships with him. When Michael retired, guess who went to the finals that year?
Yes, dude.
Horace Grant.
Exactly.
And Shaq.
Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal.
And they lose to Hakeem Olajuwon, who at the time was really... That's really one of the best centers ever. One of the best players ever because he takes Houston as the best... What?
Hmm?
He's still alive.
He died this morning.
He died this morning?
Mm-hmm. Stupid ass.
I don't know what am I supposed to do, because I don't believe Thomas, but I believe AJ. AJ, I don't know if it was the obvious, but he's just like,
I was nodding along to you, not to him.
Okay, that's why I was fucked. I was like, damn, Hakeem died.
I was still nodding in agreement with you. I was still nodding that I was tracking
with you.
He's
still alive, but okay.
I was going to stop the whole thing, but okay. To wrap it up,
but
though,
now somebody just Google.
Right, make sure Hakeem good. But then after that, got Dennis Rodman. You know what I'm saying? So I say that because that does make a good point that the triple-double, he probably wouldn't get a triple-double. Is he the scorer now or is he the passer? That's the thing. He's Pippen and MJ and a little bit of Horace Grant because defensively he was good his first 10 years, 13 years, all together. So MJ scored in the not the pyramid, but the triangle offense. LeBron scored in his.
And that's a really salient point.
No. But what? Okay. MJ did it in a time the way that MJ did it changed the game and made the game more offensive because they're searching for more of that magic. The games are higher paced, they're higher scoring, MJ made the game the way it is for LeBron to excel for this argument
exactly.
to be made.
Exactly.
He wears that number. He's trying to wrap it up. No, 23. Yeah, I get it. He's the same person.
No, I think there's a lot, like, those arguments can all be made. I think because the game didn't change until MJ, if LeBron played in that era, because of his body type, he'd have been forced to play a role. I don't think he'd have been
coaches,
given.
Coaches would have made him.
Play a certain way.
But they didn't make Magic play a role. They didn't make Magic play a role.
You don't.
They
have
did
a
though.
I don't.
They did though. Magic changed the game.
Oh, at first they did. You're right. First,
but at first they tried to make Magic play a role, and then even still, when Magic made the switch, he had to fully make the switch. Do you know what I mean? Like, even Magic, like, he was the original triple-double machine, but he wasn't known for, rebounding all the time.
Understood. Yeah.
You know, like, those were more rarities for him, and I think it would have been the same for LeBron. If they made him a scorer, he would have been Magic. If they made him a defensive big-body player, he would have been Dennis Rodman or Sean Kemp, but... I don't know.
The argument will rage forever because it's also
different. Yeah. Because everything is different.
Things would have changed.
Subjective. Right,
so what were you trying to say?
I don't fucking remember.
It's not a sports thing. Thomas just doesn't like talking about black people stuff. So it's
unless he's at the plantation.
Especially the elite black people. He hates that.
I don't remember.
Nigga with
more
money. And a wife. He got love, money.
I will say,
if LeBron James is on the podcast talking about sliding in DMs, you would not have disrespected him.
I would have, because I hold him to a different standard.
He wouldn't have been talking about wallpaper.
You know who was, though? Kobe cheating on his wife. Shit.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Kobe. Yeah.
We talked about basketball for 19 hours.
One of the most tragic things, I played basketball in high school, varsity.
We talked
about
basketball for 20 minutes.
And I played basketball varsity in high school, and my best friend Emily, shout out Emily, fucking awesome person, was the best player. She was just threes, just crisp, clean, dribble, finesse. Eighth grade year, blew left ACL out. Got better, came back, fucking crushing it. Senior year, first game of a tournament, blew the right one. Yeah, dude.
That's not funny.
Now it is, but it's like, dude, we were so excited to have her back and like have a winning season. And it was just like, no.
Constantly losing your best athlete. Yeah. Just like how everyone who ever played with Greg Oden felt.
Yeah, that fucking sucks.
No, we will change the topic on basketball. We'll stop talking about it. Last thing I'll say is we can agree, MJ and LeBron, both super autistic.
Yeah,
so
friend of definitely, the pods, yeah.
Definitely Michael for sure.
Yeah, all right, Thomas. What would you like to talk about?
I'm sorry, I wanted to say something about your friend breaking her leg. Okay. We had a friend in middle school named Lucky. All right, he and literally, this is how he got his nickname too. He was a small little light skinned dude, looks like a little elf, and he injured tore his fibula in spring practice, right? And he had to be like on, you know, crutches. And like a week later, we see him in a wheelchair and his other leg is broke. And we're like, bro, what happened? He said, man, my whole ass tripped over the phone cord, man. And I was like,
because you're 65.
I was like, what the fuck, bro? And then they just like, man, you just lucky to be alive. So they call him Lucky.
Bro.
When you said it, remind me of Lucky, man.
The phone cord is wild.
Do you know what's hilarious? And this is one of those, like, we've talked with Jimmy about this on the podcast. And it's like that, one of those, it's a stereotype. It's a stereotype.
Stereotype.
The stereotype of, like, black people don't do shit that isn't cool. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were talking about, like, Jimmy. Like Jimmy's never publicly done something embarrassing. Like, he handles things very smoothly and coolly.
Yeah.
I've never seen a black guy get injured.
Not
outside of sports. Outside of sports.
Well, have you ever
that
seen
would terrify
cops?
Me
but
as
you know
a
what I mean?
Person.
No, or a cop. God damn it.
I was going to say, I lived in Minneapolis for a while. I've seen it before.
Check your privilege.
No. I mean, like, wow. I've never seen a black guy trip and fall down.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Andre Churchill.
You know what I mean?
you just always seen a black man be smooth.
Be smooth. Exactly. Like, the phone cord thing.
Yeah.
Funny.
Like, okay, when you picture it in your mind, if I told you with no context, I was like, bro, a friend of mine broke his leg, was on crutches, and then tripped on the phone cord in his house, fell and broke his other leg, and now he's in a wheelchair.
I just picture you.
That's funny as fuck. That's true, though.
It's true.
You do have a black penis.
It's inside brown.
He has a Middle Eastern dick.
That Carl arm again.
He has a brown penis.
What you was going to talk about? Y'all know black folks don't do suicide and gay jokes, man.
Yeah, black people, homophobic.
No, we're not homophobic.
More than I notice white people are.
Okay. That's your experience.
Really? Do you not think so?
No, we learning.
We learning
too. You know what I'm saying? In our hood, we just had sissies. You know what I'm saying? I still remember the sissy in our hood. You know what I'm saying? It's always one hood ass sissy. And we just, you know, we consider him the sissy. You know, he was a trans, whatever, but we ain't like.
Have you seen
that? We call somebody fucking, we're like, yeah, you fuck with that transvestite. That's what they called him.
Did they call him a transvestite?
Yeah, that's what they called him back in the day. I'm old.
Have you seen that video of
old?
Yeah. No, he is. He's 40. You're in your 40s.
31, fool.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Bitch, why would you say that?
I guess I look up to you in age
and height.
Yeah. Also, black don't crack, dude. You could be any age.
Hey, you could be 90. Right about that. You could be 90.
Bro, I thought you were younger than me.
Have you seen that video?
30.
Oh.
Have you seen the video?
30. Go ahead.
Yeah, she looks 30.
Yeah,
the video of the. Yeah, you're 30. Have you seen the video of the the black flamboyant man who's in church and he goes, I ain't gay no more.
Of course, we've seen that.
I ain't gay no more. I have like black women. Facebook. Women, women, women. And then he shudders as he says it because
yeah,
it's a lie.
He's gay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like that's the thing. You know, I think that's what it is. Most black people grew up in church. So that is one of the
bad
heavy sins.
That's a bad
you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like how meth is to y'all. He's homophobic. You know,
yeah,
you
know, yeah. Early, like my church was very homophobic.
What's the deadly sin in y'all church? What, adultery?
Drugs? No,
maybe fucking
homophobia. Maybe fucking. Where I grew up in Texas, Southern Baptist.
Okay, yeah. I grew up in the South. Yeah, being gay is pretty heavy.
It still is. My hometown, the church my parents go to is called the Cowboy Church, and the preacher had like the pastor has like a revolver six shooter strapped to him
to shoot gay people.
Well, no.
He's like, this is for snakes and homos.
I don't see no snakes.
I just need directions. I'm trying to get to Seattle.
But he like preaches like anti-gay stuff.
That's
and
nice.
Like,
you need to keep. You need
I mean,
people like that.
Yeah,
you
it's what it's keep whatever. It it's just.
Gotta keep the balance.
Gotta keep the. Well, it's
this
just
is accepting as churches out there.
Yeah,
the gay flag. You know what I'm saying?
Not in my hometown.
That's just too much. You know what I'm saying? Just fly the regular Jesus flag. Everybody know what that flag was like: red, white, with the cross in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just fly that.
So you don't like the gay flag so much?
I don't like that they keep adding colors.
Yes, that's a lot to keep up with.
And then they added the brown with the pink, so it looked like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However you want it.
And it, yeah. Do you know what the brown and the pink stands for?
Now who's
what
the
is
pervert?
That?
I think it's just for the
now
trans.
Now who's the pervert? This
wait,
is
wait,
perverted.
No. Trans is blue and pink, I thought.
This is
I thought
trans.
It was teal and pink.
I guess they put the brown with the by the pink. The brown is
blue.
I think that's for eating ass.
It's the pink, then brown.
He goes LBGTQIII.
I don't like when any corporation uses that to like try to I church whoever
that's
I don't
what I'm
like
saying.
That
yeah, yeah.
That's you
don't,
what I'm saying.
Yeah. Why are you in
the pride
business?
Flag should be like the Puerto Rican flag. It should be in cars.
Seen but not heard. Like women. Women, women, women. I don't like men's no more.
Yeah, it's
I
for,
like women's
no. Yeah, it is for cars and neighborhood barbershops.
That's the thing. Now, if you can accept gay people in your barbershop,
that's love.
A
that's
black barbershop?
Oh, yeah.
You'll get so much money. They tip your ass like a motherfucker. Here's $20, honey. You know what I'm saying? Real quick.
Mm-hmm. I love gay people. I love people who are themselves.
Dude, There's no one I trust more with a haircut than a black gay barber.
Dude, I would go to a black gay barber.
Like, yeah. black gay barber.
Because they could do they could do my retwist too.
That's like
haircut.
The Kobe and the LeBron.
Line you up all nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but
what do you think about basketball?
You just blew by that. I love gay people.
You love gay people?
They love you too.
You love gay people?
I fuck with them.
You literally?
Oh, here's the thing, man. When growing up is in the church, bro. Like we don't like at all, right? Then when you go out into the world as a college, you know what I'm saying? And then you meet people, you work with people like
have one too many white claws.
On some real shit though. Like, I don't fuck with white claws. Man. I drink neutrals. But if you start to meet people,
like, I like women.
I had a coworker. He was gay. And like flamboyantly gay, and I at first ain't gonna lie, I was uncomfortable because I was like, man, why you gotta act like this? Like, and I realized that's just who he is, and I had to work. Right. And then we start talking, became cool. One of the realest dudes that I've ever met. You know what I'm saying? He used to be in the streets. He got shot at his neck. You know what I'm saying? So he went through the same hood shit that I've seen other hood
as
dudes.
A gay guy. That's even harder,
right? Because he
yeah. Gotta stay hard. Gotta stay hard in these streets.
I was just waiting.
Quit shooting.
But like, I was like, wow, man, you should like dick up your ass. You know what I'm saying? You black, but you just it's none of my business of what you got going on in the bed. Right.
That's what I don't want to know.
Still a man.
I don't
still
care.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone's doing. I just would rather just not know. Like, why are we talking about it so much?
It don't fucking matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Because people are like
you
coming
do you.
In, yeah, but they're coming into their own, and they coming from an era in which that you couldn't talk about it, and now it's being celebrated, and so some people are taking a little liberty with it, and it's a little annoying. But on the whole, what's happening is probably good.
Yeah,
I think
you're right
about that. It had to be celebrated for it to be accepted.
You're right.
Yes.
And I fuck with that. That's my first time thinking about it. That's cool.
Yeah, I like the way
that's
you
cool.
put that.
Good job.
Yeah. You made a point, Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
That. I also everybody DM women.
I think we have to end it there. Yeah,
Thomas just made a point.
Oh, shit. That's on the Patreon, right? Anyway. All right. So. Back to the podcast. Yeah. Dude, we spoke some tea.
Dude, if you're not on the Patreon, we name fucking names, bitch. Oh man, I have to pee so bad. Can we take a little pee break or are you good?
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
Cool.
I mean, we got another like 40 minutes if you want to rip it.
Coming from Birmingham, like people think you hood. I grew up in the hood, but at the same time, the suburbs, where I had white friends, too. I also lived in South Carolina with most of my adolescent friends from 4 through 8 were all white. My best friend, Jason Christensen, lived in the woods, and we shot fucking squirrels in his house.
Did you eat them?
No, we didn't eat them. We weren't. They weren't that country. But I did have deer meat. That was my first time having deer meat.
My family eats squirrels and deer and all that
squirrels,
shit.
Her squirrel's
deer,
good, though. But
dove,
yeah, like,
snake.
Okay, but I grew up off Pokemon. I grew up off Dragon
white,
Ball Z.
I
grew up off some white shit, too. But at the same time, as an only child, I had to conform to the hood because I didn't have backup in it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When it come to... If I got to beefing with somebody,
I
had
makes
to have
you a
friends.
Good comic, though.
You didn't
that
have an older sibling, younger sibling, nobody.
So it's easy to get along with me because I'm get alongable.
But that's like what you just said. The way you just structured your upbringing gives you that's like a gold mine of material for like giving that perspective to people.
For sure.
Like your intersection with whiteness and your intersection with blackness and your intersection with being an only child. It's like. That's gonna resonate with three different audience types. Like people are gonna hit that.
You have like different perspectives, and you're able to like have the natural juxtaposition of those different environments
is so much
material.
Yeah. And that's
it's
why
interesting. It's inherently interesting.
Mm-hmm. But that's why I like the white people that I'm cool with. Just keeping it real are the white people that make me feel like I can be myself, and I ain't gotta act no certain type of way. To be accepted. So I get what you know, a lot of black people get what you feel because they deal with it in the workforce.
Right, right.
Mm. White voice and what's it called? Fucking, because I talk about it too because it's the same thing I do.
It's, black voice?
No,
mirroring?
Code switching.
Yes.
Like mirroring, like autism mirroring is just clinical code switching.
Yes.
Yeah.
But is all that is. The idea that you like stand up is so interesting because when you're in the open mic scene or even when you're on the tour circuit, you're around people who represent like a uniquely Black experience, and sometimes you're on the same show as them. Mm-hmm. And to see them perform and to see them give their perspective and watch it resonate with people, because like that's more true than the shouty, whiny people saying how race is. What you're saying is more true than that of like people complaining about shit.
Yeah.
And course. That's what people need. People need that more than ever. People want that more than ever of just like, what is it actually like?
I think people want to be heard too.
Yes. Yeah.
So if I say they something that voice. They always wanted to say.
Yes.
You know, like, I know you've heard a joke like, why I ain't say that first? Because you feel that way.
Yes. Yes.
The joke,
yes.
The joke you have about how fast white women walk in front of you. Yeah. That's it's a true. Uniquely Black experience. It's that like true. As it's so general, it's so universal.
Green
that
Hill
even,
Malls, man.
Even like even as a white guy, even as a white guy, when I hear you bring up that premise, I immediately go, "Oh yeah." Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Okay.
Aaron
yeah.
said something about the last night. Like, he's like, "We're trying better, bro. We're trying better with the racism, yeah. man." Yeah. But no, I know. Like yeah, it's real deal what like I experienced, but I appreciate it, and that's one of the reasons why I came to Nashville, not Atlanta. I saw guys up here writing jokes, right? Mm. And I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I ain't no comedian when it comes to I was writing shit. When I wrote things, it was nonfiction. Or yeah, nonfiction. It was
true.
Real shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I wasn't a fiction storyteller writer. You know what I'm saying? It was hard for me to write it down. I had the imagination and I can act out something and I can be funny. I was a funny person.
In the truth.
Yeah. It was just in me and I couldn't, you know, put it out there. So when I came up here and I saw Connor Lawson and Zach Townsend writing every Monday type deal. I was like, oh, I need that type of competition. So when I came up here and it was like, oh, you going to do crowd work today? You going to do 7 minutes of crowd work? I was like, I can, but I don't have to now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you do 7 minutes of crowd work? It's how Woo! I'm feeling.
Get his ass.
You know what I'm saying?
Get his ass.
But that's why I came, but that's just where I came from. But I learned as well, you know, being at Stardom with Bruce, you can't do crowd work all the time because that's a theater in itself. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I remember I'm bombed.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't bomb. I just didn't do what a host was supposed to do for Carlos Miller. And he got on my ass. He was like,
why are you doing my shit?
Yeah. If you do that shit one more time, you won't ever work at Stardom. I need you to say this. I need you to talk about the birthdays, all this.
And then do 5 minutes of jokes.
Jokes. He did say, and I went up there and he said, he kissed me after the show. Italian kiss.
Oh.
That was so great. Oh my God. I love it. You know, Bruce, I love it. And that was one of the best moments of my comedy career. I was like year two. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
And so that's why I came up here because like Stardom is that's a weird place to grow at.
Yeah.
It's a 450 seater theater.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying? With a skybox.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a comedy club. I did Zany's for the first time. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This feels good.
This is what a club is like.
Yeah, because a theater. Now, here's the thing. I've had Big Laugh twice where they were stomping on, you know what I'm saying? And the tables were clashing and shit. And you can hear the loud roars. It feels good.
Yeah.
But that comedy club, just, you can touch people. You see people in the, like, you can see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Except for up there. But I don't know. It was just, it's a different feeling when they're just right there on you. And you're just like, oh, yeah. I got a story to tell you. Oh, y'all, come sit around the campfire.
Yeah.
Instead of, I am Bishop, and I'm here to be your host.
Yeah.
For a theater. Mm. I know you've done theaters.
Oh, yeah.
The club. It's a whole different feeling.
It's entirely different. The timing is different. The rhythm, like, oh.
What's the difference? What's the biggest difference doing a theater versus a club for you?
It is 100%. It is figuring out the rhythm. Like, the rhythm is different.
Every time, every theater is different? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Every theater is different. Crazy. Because it, just like what you were saying, like with a comedy club. Like, comedy clubs have a slightly different, like, feel, but almost every comedy club is the same. It's a, like, low-ceiling, black box room mm-hmm. where all of the crowd noise is directed mm-hmm. one direction.
It's like an echo. It's a quick echo versus a woo.
People don't understand that about comedy shows. Like comedy shows, it's you can live. Do comedy shows anywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But comedy clubs are comedy clubs for a reason.
They're designed for it.
Yes. They're designed for it. Yeah. That's all I gotta say.
Yes, exactly. They're built to hold that specific thing.
It's like a furnace. It's like a fireplace. It's built. Right?
And it's built to keep their attention.
Okay. Yeah. It's a comedy club is like a wave pool.
versus like a theater is the open ocean.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like a wave pool, the it's the same every time.
I can't swim in either, brother.
No, it's like you when you go to a comedy club, whether it's, you know, like Zany's here in Nashville, Zany's Chicago, you know, fucking Laugh Factory, Improv, whatever. Every one of those rooms is a wave pool, right? It's designed specifically for a comedian to go in and surf. Every one of those wave pools might have a different rhythm, but when you get in that room, it's what it is.
And your act is the board.
You might have a shitty board.
Yeah.
It's got a few holes. I'm going to drown.
Well, no. I feel like that's the crowd. The crowd is the board, right? Like if you go to a wave pool, you're normally, unless you're in a place where you can bring your own board,
normally.
I feel like the crowd's a wave and your material's the board.
The waves are consistent. Crowds aren't consistent.
The room, the sound. I'm talking about when I'm talking about rhythm, I'm talking about the sound of the room.
I see.
Okay.
The board is the crowd because, like you said, sometimes you get a board that is perfect. Like this is like, oh my God, this is a fresh out of the factory board. It's been waxed perfectly.
Or you got a board you got to work with.
Or you have, exactly, you got a board that's got dings in it and you're like, I think I'm going to leave my socks on. You know what I mean? Like that is the crowd. But yeah, that like, and when you're talking about like a theater, you're talking about the open ocean. You know what I mean? It's like there's tides. That rhythm can change. It's going to be different here than it is over here, even as you walk across the stage. So just like when you walk down a beach, if you find like, you're like, oh, there's an alcove here. There might be places on the stage where the monitors themselves, where you hear yourself aren't picking up.
Right.
So you can't even hear yourself. Mm. So in a theater, it's figuring out it's like I said, it's like versus like being in a tide pool in a comedy club versus being in the open ocean. Like you have to be aware of like the rip currents.
Yeah.
It's not just that. It's just like you have to just get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first big theater I ever did was with Bert. We did Rosemont Theater, which is like 2,200 seats. And the early show, just trying to figure out my rhythm in the room because the way that the sound comes back at you is so different.
Mm.
Like, it takes so much longer for a room full of 2,200 people to finish laughing at a joke versus a comedy club where it's normally, you know, it's this, boom, next joke, boom. And then it's so different. Like, it feels so much, you're waiting so much longer to get to the next thing that I didn't even finish my jokes. Like I didn't finish, get to my closer, my first set. But the second set, I knew what I was getting into. So I was like, okay, I have to pick up my timing so the audience reacts faster.
Yeah.
And it picks it. And the second set crush.
The pacing. Exactly. The pacing. Yeah. I love that's the one thing that I feel the most attuned to when I watch. There's two things when I watch comedy. At like the open mic or on Zany's shows or whatever, is the there's like a natural rhythm that they establish in their mode of communication, and then there's like the melodic, there's like this, yeah, the energy, the flow, it's very rhythmic. It's like I won't remember people's bits, but I'll remember the energy and the rhythm of it. And you're like, dude, when you were talking about whatever that was, the energy felt this way and the rhythm felt this way, and you had them. There's like a cohesion.
Yeah.
It's Simon Says.
Well, like David Tell. That's why David Tell.
But that's what I'm saying. It's Simon Says. You're creating a rhythm and then trying to break the pattern. Right, but you're creating the, you know, like.
But there's a rhythm Simon says, underneath.
Simon says go to the library. Simon says grab a book. Simon says this. I didn't say this.
Yeah.
Or you know.
Yeah.
Sit down. Ah, Simon didn't say.
Yeah.
You know.
Damn, he just broke down comedy as Simon said.
That's kind of your style.
When you create the rhythm. You're in control. They're reacting to everything you're saying because of the rhythm. Yep. So even when you miss the joke, even when you forget the Simon Says, you're still getting
the
a laugh.
That's
because so of beautiful. The rhythm.
I love
That's
that.
So beautiful. It's just life on stage. Like, God damn it. We all go on stage. We walk on stage and for 10 minutes, it's just, woo! Like, and it's whatever you can, like, it's like a heartbeat. It's like, if you've ever been, like, in that really intense, like, skydiving, that feeling of, I'm really here. I'm really here. And if you can grab that and ride that wave, you are really there for everyone in the audience.
But there also there comes a time, like confidence-wise, I still have moments where I'm like, "Woo, I'm really here." But there's confidence-wise, there becomes times where instead of being like, "Woo, you're here," there's times where you're on stage and you're just in your head. You're like, "Ha-ha, I got this little motherfucker."
Yeah, I was gonna say like for me, it feels like sex.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah,
but
it's like exactly. There's times where you're all smiling internally because you're like, I'm blowing these bitches' backs out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And especially with the rhythm thing, because like at the beginning, if you give them the wrong rhythm, and you try to switch up that rhythm,
and then if you pretend gonna look that back you're hard,
like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the audience. So but if you get that rhythm, and get that coochie get wet, it don't matter what you do after that. Just don't nut.
Come on. Yes. Yeah. Oh shit. You know what I'm saying?
Just don't nut. Don't nut too early. You better do your time.
Exactly.
And not a minute over.
Oh, and that is our time, dude. Thanks for coming on.
I had no problem.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of The Tard Yard. Fucking Bishop, give them all your social media.
Bishop.3K on Instagram. Bishop Says So on Twitter.
Follow.
Hell yeah.
And if you're not, you should join the Patreon because that's where all the fun shit happens.
Yeah,
one other thing is that Zany's Lab just opened, which if you are tuning in from Nashville, that means that Zany's the club now has a second room to incubate local and developing talent and to give a space for touring comics to come through and work their shit out. Bishop's there all the time. AJ's got a show, Shakes and Jakes.
Shake and Jake. April 21st. It's a crowd work show.
So come to the lab and be part of the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, I got a show there too.
Yeah.
I'll be on the Roast Battle, April 17th.
April 17th, yes. Josh Black presents Roast Battle. Bishop's doing spots on that. But it is the newest place to do to watch stand-up comedy. Like the fucking the meat and potatoes of what's happening in Nashville.
If you're a fan of comedy, then you know about the Belly Room at the Comedy Store
in
Los Angeles and how magical that room was and like the talent that came out and like the jokes that you know and have heard because of that room. And now Zany's has that room.
Yeah, come on.
Very excited about it. It opens, shows start in that room April 10th. If you're here in Nashville, check out any and every show in that room.
Let's go.
You can check us out at our shows coming up. The gang is coming on the road with me to Texas and Oklahoma soon. We're headed out west. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Dude,
we have shows. I want to be a cowboy.
Cowboy.
I'm taking Garth on the road with us.
April 18th, Dallas, Texas. April 19th, two shows, San Antonio, Texas. 420, Oklahoma City at the Pharmacy Dispensary. 421, Shake and Jake at the Lab at Zany's Nashville for the Zany's as part of the Zany's Comedy Festival. April 24th, Zany's Chicago, Old Town. May 3rd, Gig Harbor, Washington. May 4th, Portland, Oregon, Rip City Comedy Festival. Oh, solo tickets for that show at Rip City Comedy Festival have already sold out. We added 25 more general admission tickets.
Portland.
And the only tickets left after those 25 general admission tickets are VIP tickets for the entire festival. So,
spend that coin.
Spend that money. Go spend that money. And then just added, hot off of the presses. They're not even on the website as of the time of this recording, but by the time you see this, they will be on the podcast, are on the website. June 27th, 28th, and 29th, a whole weekend, Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Looney Bin.
Oklahoma.
Dude, where the wind blows.
Yes, and Thomas, maybe. We're going to find out, dude. Get tickets at AJ Wilkerson Comedy. AJ, I don't even know my own website, dude. AJWilkerson.com for tickets.
Hell yeah, Oklahoma. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Oh,
goodbye.
Also, shout out to our sponsors on the podcast, Dixon Flannel Company, one of the best like American-made products you can find. They made my Captain Autism flannel that you can get right now at DixonFlannel.co. Go get that. And also, our sponsor for the pre-roll, Puff Puff Glass.
The original glass store in River Falls, Wisconsin. PuffPuffGlass.com. They just put their website up.
Puffupglass.com.
Puff Glass. Grandpa puff, Bar puff. Every Friday, 6 p.m.
What in tarnation?